Welcome to the podcast of MotorWeek, television's original automotive magazine. MotorWeek is made possible by RockAuto.com. Here's your host, John Davis.
And welcome to MotorWeek podcast number 82. I am John Davis, and sitting around our table today is our producer, writer, and two-wheeling reporter, Brian Robinson.
Hello.
Our road test producer, Ben Davis.
Hey there.
Our writer, Patrick Lucas.
Delighted to be here.
And our assistant producer, Greg Carlos.
I'm happy to be here as well.
Okay, guys. All right, we've got a lot of stuff to cover today, including a lightning round in our MotorWeek mailbag. But let's talk about three cars coming up on MotorWeek. All three of them, about the only real thing they have in common is they happen to all be German brands. But let's start with a car that you wouldn't think of necessarily when you start talking about cars that cost nearly $150,000 and are extremely rare. It's not a Ferrari or Lamborghini or anything like that. It is a BMW, but it's a very special BMW. It's the B7 Alpina. A very, very rare 7 Series BMW. And Brian Robinson, why don't you start us off and give us some of the background of the Alpina and about this car?
Alpina, if you're not familiar, much like the M Sport, kind of started off in the 60s tuning BMWs. Over the years, they've gotten more involved with the factory. They hand assemble the same engine that comes in the 750, the 4.4 liter twin turbo V8. They make their own version of that. It gets put into the 7 Series of the factory and then goes back to Alpina for finishing.
Yeah, this is the only Alpina product we get here. They make a large variety of them in Europe. However, it's still an independent company, too.
That is correct. And, yes, the B7 is the only one that's been legally available here in the States. I think some other models have probably sneaked in here and there over the years.
Yeah,
yeah, B7 is the only one that's officially been here. Basically, sort of like M, but the difference is Alpina is just as interested in cranking up the luxury of the interiors and as they are in increasing performance. It's got like 100 more horsepower than 750. It's like 540, I think it comes out to be, and just a huge, luxurious, massively impressive car.
You know, it felt like a different car. It didn't feel like a 7 Series, and yet, I don't know if all that was just because of all the custom work on the interior. I mean, it's got a beautiful interior, beautiful materials.
I was almost scared of the interior because of that ultra white and all that leather, and I was, you know, those muddy, rainy days after stand-up, so I was a little scared to get inside.
I was eating chili dogs in that.
Don't tell BMW that. Beautiful car, lots of interesting detailing. If you're not familiar with the Alpinas, a couple of things you guys were taken back with the wheels.
I mean, good-looking wheels, I think.
Just a lot of little crevices.
Yeah, just a real pain to clean. And to put air in, as we found, the valve stems in the center cap. So, you know, if you don't already know that, you'll be looking around for quite a while.
As we were.
But all in all, do you think it replaces, or I should say it's a substitute for having an M7?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, I don't think BMW has any plans for bringing an M7 here. So it certainly fits that need.
You never know what BMW's cooking up. They might bring an M7 over here. And if they did, I'm sure that would be the end of Alpina for the U.S. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Maybe not, it's not terribly popular over here, is it? I mean, I'm not sure that many people know what Alpina is.
It's a very rare beast.
I was surprised that people, it definitely attracts the crowd. The paint job, almost all the Alpinas come with a special blue paint job. You can get custom colors, basically whatever you want.
That blue is not used by BMW anywhere.
Correct.
Else.
That's their own color. And it really turns heads, number one. But then I found a lot of people that knew exactly what it was. Okay. Anybody in a BMW, they knew exactly what it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it is one of the quintessential BMWs. Speaking of quintessential cars, Porsche 911, world-class sports car, got more accolades than you can possibly imagine. The latest Carrera, the 4S, has now been in our hands at Roebling just recently for winter testing. Okay, the addition of all-wheel drive and even more electronic nannies to an incredible car already. Does the 911 really need it? Who's this car for? Is it worth it?
I'm not sure. You know, it's definitely worth it. I think the big thing you buy, I mean, you get a ton more grip with the all-wheel drive for track work, but I think the big thing you're buying is exclusivity, as in, you know.
No, it's another six-figure car.
Yeah. Well, ours was $140,000. Yeah. They start just under that, I believe. But, yeah, you know, you see a lot more base 911s than you do Carrera 4s.
And sure. We had the S, and, of course, you can get just straight Carrera 4 as right. well. My recollection of it is every time you get into the latest, whatever it is, 911, you just sort of like shake your head and think, how can this car keep getting better? Because it's already so exceptional.
It's almost better to the point that it's, I found it boring at times on the track. Mm-hmm. It just does everything so perfectly. I wanted a little more seat of the pants excitement, I guess, more out of control feel.
Are we getting to the point where, you know, we're starting to yearn for something that's less electronic-fied, more easy, you know, more natural, like, you know, a return BRZs to like the stuff. Miata, Mazda Miata type mm-hmm. days where it was just up to the driver?
I mean, if you're spending like every weekend on the track with it, yeah. But I mean, if this is your daily driver or weekend driver, you know, I say you go with the electronics. I mean, they make you a better driver if you're not a very good one. So, why would you not want them?
Okay, moving on to another German vehicle, one I think that has sparked a lot of interest, and that's of the Volkswagen Jetta Hybrid. Here's a brand that basically had a huge vested interest in diesels. It's done more to promote diesels than any other brand. And looks like they've sort of given up the ghost and trying to go the hybrid route, and this first hybrid looks pretty impressive. Comments?
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprising hybrid. You know, it has performance that I didn't expect to get from a hybrid. It's got the GLI suspension, so it's more fun to drive than other hybrids that we've had in here. Not so sure that I would take it over the TDI, though. I don't know how anybody else feels on that matter, but
they definitely did the hybrid right. I mean, you can even get the DSG Trans in it, which is awesome.
There's CVTs only trans there. You can get.
Yeah, true story. But thank God that's in there.
Instead of
let me try to regain my composure.
My bad.
I mean, but obviously they made it because let's face it, there's people that are never going to warm up to diesels, and they wanted to get a little piece of the hybrid market. I don't think it's taken the place of the diesel. It's just a nice addition to the diesel. It's just another really fuel efficient, fun to drive addition. So now you have both. I think I would go TDI as well.
We didn't get the mileage in it that for sure. was advertised.
Not even close. Not even close.
You know, it was so in that aspect, people could argue, well, the Prius does a little better, and that's true. But it's not nearly as much fun to drive as the Jetta.
Yeah, if you've been waiting around for a fun to drive hybrid, you know, then this is definitely the one you want to get. I think the powertrain being turbo and hybrid, that's a great combo. I can't believe it's taken this long for someone to come up with. You off the line, you get a nice little, you know, electric boost from the batteries, and then once your turbos get spooled up, you get another boost from that. So it's fun to drive for sure.
We often get the question about why is there no diesel hybrids. There are a couple in Europe, but they haven't made their ways here yet. And what I've been led to understand is that you have to make the hybrid system a lot more robust to put it behind a diesel engine, and that adds weight and takes away some of the advantage. But you certainly can look at Volkswagen and think they've got the best of both worlds at the moment. You think for you, Pat?
I mean, I definitely had a lot of fun with it. I think I'm going to side with the hybrid over the diesel. Just
cheaper to operate.
True. I mean, there's more availability in terms of where to refuel, although, you know, with gas prices going up, I don't know how long that's going to be worth your time versus, you know, looking around.
And that's the story that diesels have been fighting for a long time. A lot of people don't think that diesel's as available as gas, and it always is more expensive. So Volkswagen has decided to give the American public what it wants, and they did a good job. Okay, let's move on to our lightning round, where our panelists have 2 minutes to debate trending automotive topics. When time's up, they'll hear the bell, rung by our producer, Michelle Parker. Here we go. Chrysler has introduced an innovative new way to sell cars, specifically the Dodge Dart. It sets up a website where people can register for a Dart just like you would for a wedding or a baby. Friends, family, and anyone who's interested can cover a portion of the cost or the whole thing. Is Chrysler on to the next big thing in sales with this social giving model? A very interesting question, with more and more car sales migrating to the internet and companies continuing to experiment with new ways. What do you think of this one?
I think it's neat that they're doing it. And it's kind of a cool promotion to do, but the next big thing, I seriously doubt.
Yeah, if it's anything like my family, I'd get maybe $200 or $300 yeah. from everyone I know, and that's not going to go too far from the...
Well, then what do you do then?
Yeah. Exactly. What happens if you get, like, a car that's, like, three-quarters funded or half-funded? What do? You just don't get it?
Yeah. Is it when you have the full commitment, is that when people ante up? Or
I wonder if what they're after here is for you to have your friends and family actually make your down payment for you. You know, that you'll say, well, okay, I'll buy the car since you're paying the down payment of $2,000-$3,000 or whatever.
I mean, they try to do it as I think I saw, though. They like you, they pay for parts, like, you know, in quotes.
If you want wipers, that'll cost you something.
I'll pay for the engine or something.
I'll pay for the gas cap.
Under seat storage or whatever.
If I can get a Viper engine in it, you could pay for that for me, and then I would take it.
I think it ranks right up there with a lot of other attempts to sell cars by major manufacturers on the internet, which have been great for getting promotional promotion and getting headlines on Google and Yahoo, but not much else, you know. So I don't know. We'll see what's down the pipeline.
If you bought one this way, contact us.
We'd like to know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at our Motor Week mailbag. Remember, submit your questions, and if you get your answer, or I should say your question here used on our podcast, and we give you an answer, whether we give you an answer or not, you'll win a fabulous Motor Week T-shirt. So here we go. This is from Dan, and it's a long one. Assuming the quality of a vehicle is measured in terms of performance, reliability, materials, and design, and we're not sure we agree with all that, but anyway, and considering these components of quality are what determine the selling price, ratings, reviews, and resale value, also in doubt, which of the automakers with luxury versions of baselines, meaning Honda, which has Acura, Toyota has Lexus, Nissan has Infiniti, GM has Cadillac, you could say Chevrolet has Cadillac. Which one of these have models with the smallest difference in quality between the base and the luxury lines? Which offer the most significant upgrades over the baseline by its luxury? And for that matter, let's go the other direction and say which one has the biggest difference in quality between the base and the luxury lines. That's a lot.
Yeah,
I want to dive into it. Okay, let me break into parts. If you had to look at those pairings or any other pairings you could come up with, and you look at their $10,000 car and you look at their $70,000 car, which one of these pairings of base versus luxury brand you think would have the least difference in quality? In other words, the most similar quality.
Gotcha. I'll go with Toyota Lexus. They're almost identical. You get maybe a little bit nicer trim work. Otherwise, same.
I think I'd agree. Maybe a runner-up would be Honda Acura.
Yep,
that's the two-hour split between.
Okay, the next part of that question is who gives you the most upgrades from, say, the base model to the luxury model? That's a very different question.
On this one, I'd go, of what's listed here, I would go Nissan Infiniti, just because their interiors are totally different. Exterior stylings also, like with the Infiniti JX and Pathfinder, vastly different. They feel a lot different. But one not on here is definitely Volkswagen Audi. A lot of their cars are based on the same chassis, but they're huge, vastly different cars.
Different. Yeah. Inside and out. Okay, the third part of this
Sorry. Anyone else?
Anybody else?
Come on.
Out of what's here, I would pick Cadillac. Because, I mean, the CTS on the Sigma platform, Chevy didn't even have anything on that platform. So then basically that luxury line had its own platform.
But do you think the quality of the Cadillac is better than a Chevy as far as the material qualities and stuff?
I would say slightly better, a whole lot better, but the equipment is definitely better. I mean, with Cadillac, you can get magnetic ride, and even in the V models, you can get Corvette motors.
Yeah, I think their materials are a lot better, but they do look somewhat similar on the inside. I'll agree with that. They have that basic design theme going on their interiors.
And if the ATS V comes out and it has a Corvette motor, magnetic ride, you're not going to find a Chevy equivalent that's going to come anywhere near that.
You're sort of answering the last question, that I pose, which is who's got the biggest difference in quality between their base model and their upper models in a way. I don't know. Anybody else you would add there? I'm not so sure. I wouldn't add Volkswagen and Audi in that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But anybody else?
I'm still not sold on Cadillac quality being that much superior. But anytime I take the mother-in-law's HHR in for service, I see a lot more Cadillacs in the service area than Chevys.
Yeah, I wasn't really hitting on quality per se as much as goodies and just presence.
Although you have to, if you do look at the independent JD Power polls, there is a difference. But they seem to be doing very well. Actually, there have been some interesting changes there. Even Volkswagen's starting to come up in those polls. So. But anyway, Dan, I think we pretty much all agreed your basic question, we would say Toyota and Lexus, and as a second, Honda and Acura to answer your question. And thanks very much for sending in your question to our Motorweek mailbag. And that brings to a close our Motorweek podcast number 82. I want to thank everyone sitting around the table with me today. Brian Robinson, our producer, writer, and road two-wheeling reporter. Our road test producer, Ben Davis. Our writer, Patrick Lucas, and our assistant producer, Greg Carlos, and our audio engineer, David Wainwright, for making us sound clear as a bell today. And speaking of bells, our podcast producer, Michelle Parker, the lady with the bell, and our podcast creator, Bob Mixter. Thanks very much for joining us. Be sure to catch Motorweek, the television show, on your local public television station and on the cable channel Velocity. Till next time, I'm John Davis, and we'll see you here on Motorweek.
You've been listening to the podcast of Motorweek, television's original automotive magazine. Motorweek is made possible by RockAuto.com. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at Motorweek.org. And watch Motorweek, television's longest-running automotive series, each week on your local PBS station.